Welcome back to You vs. You, episode 2. This one is called How'd You Do It? And this is the follow-up to episode 1, but I want to go on a little bit more details and then just describe the play-by-play with some backstory. I'm Dave Woods, and this is...
Alicia Morales.
Hey. So the question that happens every single time I run into someone I haven't seen in a while, or if they approach me about fitness, is how'd you do it? And I used to just start giving them the rundown. This is what you got to do. This is how to do it. This is what you got to look out for. But I'd feel like I'd have to tailor fit it for the person that I was talking to. And inevitably, it always came down to an excuse, right? Like, oh, the person would say, I couldn't do that. Or I can't right now. Insert whatever their reason was. Or I used to be like this. Or some iteration of an excuse. And that's actually the filter in which I gauge whether I'm going to continue telling the person the story. On a good day, I'll just encourage them. But inwardly, I'm more like, well, this is the reason why it's so hard to do, because you have to commit to it. You have to find that reason and just stick with it and then fall in love with the process. So from now on, I feel like that's what... Actually, I shouldn't even say that like that. I'm going to back up and just say the response I'd say to the person is, oh, they'll go, hey, how'd you do it? I'm going to say, I'm going to warn you up front. It's going to cost you. Not money. Like, I'm not selling you a program. This is free. I'm gladly do it for free. It's going to cost you a lot in terms of saying, oh, I'm not going to go to this event. I'm not going to eat this particular food. I'm going to have to cut back on certain areas of life. Oh, it'll cost, because it's an exchange of what I did before for something that you haven't done quite yet. And I think that's the reason why I was successful over the 3.5-4 years to do it and then get back into it real hard. So the thing right now is accountability. And so this is how I got out of shape. And I referenced this in episode 1, was when I went home to Philly, and then easily went back to old ways, and then came back, and then it was just vacation mode. So this is the moment of being like, oh, I actually weighed myself officially with my really precise scale, and it was 250.8 pounds, right? So I said, that's too much. I'm overweight, 15 pounds overweight. I need to get back in shape, and that back is 235, and that's the one that I'm holding. It's going to be to hold to 235 and then adjust the goal. And when say the next goal, and this is actually the next goal, is 225, when I'm at 225, at any point I go to 235, I'll say, oh, I'm out of shape, because that's where the new anchor has been set for 235. For 235 as the mark, I need to go back to the gym. So the whole thing right now is being real with what the goal is, and then noticing if you're going away from the goal, and then just recalibrating. So in this episode, it's giving a little backstory for the reason how I got back into shape. So I'm now officially week 1, day 5 of the 8-week journey of getting back into shape. And it looks like this. Right? So hope you don't hear the crinkling too much. I have a feeling you do, because I'm looking at the monitor. All right. Enough without further ado. So the first thing is to write the vision down. In this case, it's a new plan. It's saying, currently I'm 250.8 pounds. The goal is 235 pounds. So do the math. It's down 15 pounds. I need to lose 15 pounds. That's the goal, 15 pounds. I imagine 8 weeks is enough to do it in such an intense way but not get burnt out and say, you know what, I don't have time to go to that next mountain, which is 225 pounds, right? So if you were taking notes from a previous episode, it was climb the first mountain, then take a little bit of a breather, stretch, enjoy life, do what you want to do, but know that there's a second mountain, which is that next goal, and that'll keep you on a shorter leash in terms of what your freedom is, right? So if I know I can be intense for 8 weeks, I don't have to say, what it's going to look like for life. It'll be just next 8 weeks, I'm cutting back, right? So that's about 1.5 to 2.5 pounds a week, all right? So now I know if I'm sticking to my routine, I will definitely be 235 pounds if I'm consistent. So if I train 6 days a week and rest on Sundays, it'll probably happen much faster than 8 weeks, and it's very manageable, right? If I optimize my gym time, as in I do the split of 35 minutes of cardio, stretch for 20 minutes, and then do weights for an hour, I can go about my business, and I'll stick on that plan. Okay. The next bullet point would be to say process driven is not the same thing as being feelings driven. So right now, well, a week ago, because I'm now in week one, I would have said I'm more of a feelings person, and I'd probably default to those feelings unless I knew what the plan was for 8 weeks. Right? You got that end in sight. All right. So what's the next thing to be on that board, on that vision board? I actually don't like saying vision board because it sounds a little too cliche for what people talk about on the interwebs. But the key for number one is write the vision down. So now you know what do you want? Right? I want to lose 15 pounds. 8 weeks, that's the deadline. Right? If I train 6 days a week, rest on Sunday, I'll be good. If I optimize my gym time by doing cardio, stretching, and weights, I'll be good. If I'm defaulting to process-driven over being feelings, how do I feel? Oh, it'll be there. No problem. All right. So what's the next thing to look out for? Food and meals. Well, I know if I have parameters up, boundaries around food, that they don't have to be, they're not too tight, but if I keep to them, if there's a moment of slipping, I can circumvent that by having a break in case of emergency plan. And that plan is to, one, either have a salad, two, have a bowl of cereal, three, have a veggie smoothie or natural juice. I like to call it natty juice, just have a better ring to that. And then the final plan, I should say bullet point, is to wake up 6:30 a.m. because I'll know from 7 or 9 I'll be at the gym. Well, I tried that day one, worked well, but I said I need to wake up earlier. So I did 6 a.m. And it was still not good enough. So I did 5:30 a.m. the next day, and it felt good, but not something that was good enough. So I want to default to the best just for these 8 weeks of being intense. And now it's 4:30 a.m. So I'm getting up. Today was the first day of being successful at getting up 4:30 a.m. in the gym at 5, out by 7, good to go. So I know what the plan is. I know what I'm doing for the next 8 weeks. I have the goal. I know what currently it looks like, and I know those steps to go along the way. So it's really as simple as that. Now, imagine this is a conversation that you have with someone who just casually says, "Hey, how'd you do it?" If you didn't know a little bit about my backstory, what would you say, Alicia?
How'd you do it, Dave?
Yeah, no, all right. So you said how'd you do it? And then I said,
how did you start?
Here's like, the new, I wrote the vision down. Here's the plan. And then I just hit you with those facts.
Like, yes.
Currently, I should say, as of 5 days ago, I was 250.8 pounds. I'm trying to get to 235. It's 15 pound difference. I'm doing it for 8 weeks. I know about once a week it'll be, if I weigh myself once a week, and by the way, I'm not going to weigh myself. I'm going to go 1.5 to 2.5 pounds a week, train 6 days a week, rest on Sundays, optimize my gym time, be process driven over feelings driven. I know what I'm doing with food. I have my emergency plan for food, and I'm waking up at 4:30 a.m. to go straight to the gym and then go about my day. So what would you say?
How'd you do? Okay.
Oh, no, no,
no, I'm just kidding. No, okay. You know what I was thinking? For you men, it's easier to set that goal. For us women as well, but it takes us longer to also set that goal. But accountability doesn't change, right? As long as we set that vision of where we want to, you know, what's our goal? If we're looking forward to an event, you know, also, or just health-wise.
Yeah. So I'm right there with you in terms of, so this actually goes back to episode one of saying, knowing the hand that you were dealt. There are physiological differences, physical differences between a man and a woman, but that's still not, that's still an excuse. So if you know it takes longer, then that might be a moment where you say, okay, my plan is to do this for 12 weeks or 16 weeks, right? And whatever pace you're going, just say the time difference, because if not, it's going to cost you, right? So I know I don't want to be up at 4:38 in the morning to do this, right? It's up to me. Yeah. I told you I'm like a 12-year-old on a 36-year-old body. I'd wake up at 2 p.m., right? But that's not realistic, like, at all, at all. Like, there was a finite window where that could work, and it was very short. So right now, how do I adjust? 4:30 a.m. for the demands of life, and I'm good to go, right? Matter of fact, today when I got back, I said, whoa, not only am I up and at 'em, bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, but I'm ready, and I'm up for most of my neighbors. And the neighbors that are up, it's because they stayed up all night, right?
Where they worked that early, yeah.
Yeah. No. These people were outside playing. They were playing chess, smoking cigarettes.
Oh, wow.
And had drinks next to them. Okay. So they were clearly had been up all night. But it's not a judgment, because in my neighborhood, it's mostly musicians and artists.
Oh, nice.
So it's just more of a bohemian lifestyle anyway. So now it's the whole original response. Instead of just giving you the rundown, breakdown, how I did it, the response is it's going to cost you. And so when I woke up, I didn't even say what my past comment was. It's like, you know, you could say good morning, God, or good God morning, right? So today I was excited. I was amped up. And it wasn't because I was 4 days, well, 5 days, excuse me. It wasn't because I was 5 days on the new routine and almost complete with week one going into week two, because those feelings do change. This was saying I'm falling in love with the process, not, oh, do I feel like going? Because no one feels like it at 4:30 in the morning. And so I said to myself, when I was having the visualization, let's practice that. You got time. Visualization. Hooked on phonics. Visualization. Okay. Visualization. Okay. We're going to have to do it again. Ow, now, brown cow. Ow, now. Ow, now. Okay. Visualization. So in the moment of imagining where I wanted to go before I go into the gym, like, I'm already talking to myself, you know, having that conversation with my inner knower, having that conversation with God. I'm saying, okay, why am I doing this? How do I feel? But not taking any credence in how I feel, because I'm saying, oh, I'm here for the process. Not only am I here for the process, but I'm going to love getting up at 4:30 in the morning. That's something that would never come out of my mouth normally. Mm-hmm. But because I had that little switch, I said, here's an option. I can either do this and be upset and complain and say, I should have just stayed in bed. But then I would not be able to talk to anyone who says, oh, how'd you do it? Oh, how'd you feel? Right. I'd have an excuse coming out already, because you can't just talk yourself into it every single day. You either adjust to it, or it's something that you don't like. And so I'm not even just trying to say adjust to it and grit your teeth and bear it. It's more, no, fall in love with the process, because I know that end results will be my goal. And without the shadow of a doubt, things are going to happen in life, but I'm already prepared for it. Right? I don't see all things, but if I say, it doesn't matter how I feel, I'm going to be doing this because I love the process. I'm going to be looking forward to parking my car at the garage and near the gym, walking down those flights of stairs, going into the gym, walking up the flights of stairs that are in the gym. I'm like, why does this place have so many stairs? Right? But say, oh, I'm going to love moving these weights. I'm going to love doing cardio because it's all part of the process. If I was consumed with, do I feel like it, or if I'm motivated or not, I probably would not have a smile on my face or be able to make jokes. Cause I'm like, man, I'm counting down the time to get out of here. Instead, I'm like, I don't have enough time here. You know, I'm here for 2 hours. That's still not enough time, cause I love being here. Right. So, being able to know the strategy might be half the battle. The other half is just sticking to the strategy. All right. So, the reason why is probably the next thing you'd have to ask yourself after, write what your vision is. Why are you doing it? For me, very easy. For Catalina's sake, for long-term health, for looking good and being healthy, and also like having the inner match the outer, mm-hmm. right? So feeling good, looking good and feeling good at the same time. But then also because I play rugby and I want to be a physical person and be able to, like, that's the dream, is to just, oh, there's a Thanksgiving alumni game, to walk onto that and then dominate, do what I'm supposed to be doing and not be like, oh, I feel like I lost a couple steps, right? In the last time we talked, I still remember that feeling of walking off the rugby pitch and feeling like I got hit by a Mack truck. And every time you play rugby, you're gonna get hurt, right? You're gonna be sore. But this was way different because I'm older, a little bit older than I was in high school. I'm a little bit older than I was when I was in college, right? A little bit older than when I played on the men's team, right? And so it's more of that mental preparedness that's happening right now in that process. And so that's one of those things that you have to key into. And after doing some introspection, I said, all right, Dave, can you name another time you did something similar to this? When did I ever overcome an obstacle and achieve a goal? Right. All right. Well, I remember what it was like losing 100 pounds. That's easy. But let me go a little bit further back, so I'm not just telling the person, oh, this is what I did for 4 years, and a lot of people might have heard, or they've heard similar stories. I'm going to go a little bit further back, and that further back was in high school, right? So playing football. But that story is something that actually started in seventh grade. So the moment of giving you the fullness of this story, are those real crickets?
Yes, they all right, are.
I don't know if that was a sound effect.
Montebello has a lot of
all good. Crickets. It's good to be in Montebello. Hey, Jiminy, what's cracking? Okay. Clearly it's his legs. That's what's cracking. Isn't that how they make the noise? Or is that like something vocal? I don't know. All right. Someone tell us, do crickets make noises with their legs, or is it like a voice thing? All right. All right. So when I was in seventh grade, I had gone from public school to private school to Catholic school. And the thing that had really shocked me was how uniform everyone was. Not just because we're wearing uniforms, but it was racially homogenous. So I walk in and I am, the first time in my life, I'm the only black dude there. And I thought I was in the wrong place. That's how plain it was, right? And so I said, oh, wow, I don't graduate for 2 years, you know, seventh and eighth grade. I better make friends fast. So I'm going to join the football team. I used to love playing backyard football. This will be easy. I also had no idea what to expect, and I quickly learned that organized team sports with officials is way different than backyard football. So decided to stick with it. Did not have a great time, but made a lot of friends, saw what it was like, and my buddy, I'm gonna just call him Jonathan because he's part of this, the second part of this story, and that's not his real name. I'm just calling him Jonathan. We quickly became friends and then best friends, right? So I graduate from junior high. And I'm like, I'm glad I don't ever have to play football again. This was pretty, pretty challenging. And also it conflicts with Saturday morning cartoons. And I had to know where my priorities lie. And that's it, right? You know, nothing wrong with that. Because, you know, when you're 14 years old, you can do, there's a lot of wiggle room, right? So I'm going about my business. And one day I feel this, this terrible pain in my hip. And so I said, you know what? It's probably just growing pains. And it was growing pains, but it kept on getting worse and was persistent. One day it, I went to take a step. I think I went to get off the couch, and it just locked in place, and I fell to the ground just screaming and crying from this intense pain that I never felt in my life. My mom runs in, and she's like, what happened? And I told her, it's my hip. It's my hip. I cannot move my hip. Went to the emergency room. They did the scans. It turns out that I have a genetic issue called slip capital femoral epiphysis. They call it SCFE for short. And it requires surgery. So it's a part. It's really common amongst Black people to have SCFE because, well, just because of the genetic makeup and the pull while you're growing, right? So the cartilage on the top of the bone, it slides off the knob and starts to harden. And that hardening, not where it's supposed to be, is what's scraping. And that scraping is what hits a nerve. And that nerve is what the thing that was shooting through my body was, right? So you, luckily we're in the 21st century. So they give you a little incision. They cut you open. They shave it down. They shave the cartilage down. And then they stitch you back up. You get a pretty sweet scar from it. But then you have to recover. Luckily, as a teenager, you recover real fast. Go about your business. The problem is you're not done growing when you're 14. So you get a little bit older and it might happen again. Right? And so I don't want to jump the shark on this one, but I'm going to have to. I had to get surgery again later, but that's not the point. The point is I'm going to stick to this story and then we'll tell different stories in different episodes. So I just had surgery. I'm in high school. I'm a freshman in high school. And I'm like, man, this is rough. But luckily, I don't play sports anymore. I enjoy playing sports, but not in a competitive, like on a team, right? Like a organized high school team. So, you know, do CYO, do, it's pretty, you know, like, what do they even call that? It's like you're on a team, but it's not, all intents and purposes, I'll call it CYO team. Like, oh, you can just play volleyball. You can do basketball, like that type of stuff. Right. So, I quickly went in high school. I'm like, man, I feel like this is, I didn't even say this, but this is a pattern. I want to make friends. So I'm going to join this team. Right. So I'll play basketball. That works. But as I'm going about sports at my own pace, my buddy, nicknamed Jonathan, says, hey, man, why don't you come play football? Right. And I say, no, I'm all right. He's like, oh, but it'll be like the old days. I'm like, we're not that old. It was like 3 years ago. Right. And that was like peewee football. Right. this is more the big leagues. I'm not trying to. I don't know what that commitment looks like, but I don't want to do that. And he goes, well, I feel it this year. We're going to win the state championship. I'm like, no, we're not. No, that has not happened in our school history. The 50 years of Lansdale Catholic, that has not happened. And also didn't like playing football when I was younger. I like playing it for the fact that I was making friends. That's it. That was my why. Why am I doing this, right? And so he goes, well, do it for me. And I'm like, dude, that is a tall order, because he was on crutches. He just had double knee surgery and was, you know, on all these pain meds. And I felt bad. Like, he lived, ate, and drank football. Comes from a football playing family. And so this would be a way of life. Man, all right. It wasn't a casual friendship. This is one of my best friends. So I said, okay, sure. But I know what this looks like, because not only am I out of shape, but I'm out of shape for a high schooler who just had hip surgery and also enjoys just watching movies, watching anime, reading comic books, doing geek stuff. Like, this is going to be a monumental amount of effort to not be a couch potato. Okay, sure, I'll play. Right. So this was the end of my sophomore year, and I maybe went to one practice and was like, yeah, I can't hack this. Right. So left. Well, when I was licking my wounds from that wounded pride and letting my friend down, I said, let me just take a year off. I'm going to focus and get in shape, and then I'll be able to do this next year, my junior year, right? So I started going to the gym in the morning, started training like how they train, with the intent of being able to walk on. Did it, and didn't start. Let me just back up. This was getting up before school, right, in high school to train. And then I lied. So after school, I'd go to the gym. I went to the YMCA and I had to learn how to lift weights, right? So at the end of my junior year, I was like, all right, how about this? I'll join. I'm here. Let's do this. And was just met with a lot of resistance in terms of, I don't think you are committed because you signed up last year and didn't last. All right, I'll do whatever it takes. All right, we'll be here. So showed up, did it. I was like, whoa, this is some next level sports for someone who doesn't play this sport and actually did not like this sport in seventh and eighth grade. All right. My buddy Jonathan's like, hey, let's do this. We're teammates. This is a team. We're here. We're like a family. All right, let's do it. Cool. So what did it look like to be able to do that with the demands of school? It actually required me to get up before school to get that my session in, handle the academic workload, and then practice with the team and do the training with the team. So did that. And the end result was, well, actually, let me just pause for a second. So walking on and being there for the full year, for senior year, looked like it was, let me break it down real fast. I wish I had thought about this harder, but you know, I'm improvising. So the hard part was realizing, I shouldn't say it was hard, it was easy. I knew I wasn't gonna go pro. Like, I wasn't there to go pro. I wasn't there to even play in college, right? It was more like, I'm here and I'm an active member of the team. I'm here to play. I'm here to play and to win. The hard fact was I was not talented, right? It was just average all around for an O-line, for playing O-line. So the truth was, and which I knew, was that I was not a playmaker, but I was consistent. Although I was not on the starting line, I was dedicated. Although I was not this sounded so much more smooth in my mind. So I knew I was not a quitter. Instead, I was disciplined, and that's all it took. And so keying into that is the thing that I would tell someone who maybe does not have a sports background and is definitely the person who's going to be saying, hey, how did you lose 100 pounds? It would be doing that soul searching to realize, like, what my whys were and not be delusional. So not going pro, not trying to go pro, but also realize to be a part of this squad, there are some demands, and that's what the process is, right? So in order to do that, it was falling in love with how hard it was. So I never missed practice. I never missed a workout. As a matter of fact, I did the extra stuff, extra mile. I would work out before school. I would do all the optional events, such as volunteering to help for whatever the thing is. Typically, something, some physical labor. I would take part in all the strength competitions, all the optional speed camps, all the fundraisers, and I even asked for more practice to learn, because slow learner. This is a pretty much a new game. I told you the mindset was, I'm a backyard football type of guy, not organized. Hey, there are some major rules and we have referees, right? So to get the extra reps in, I would play on the JV team, and it was embarrassing, but at the same time, it was to get those fundamentals and then to know why I'm there. And it was to catch up to speed with people who've been playing for the past 4 years. Matter of fact, most of those people had been playing probably since they were like in second grade. I don't know what the youngest age is you play football. Maybe it's a fourth grade. That's what I was up against for. Where is your heart at? Is your heart in this? Yes, it is. Well, now you got to earn your stripes. Okay, well, this is limited time. Let me go into this as hard as I can. And that's what it took, right? So did that. Was in it to win it. And next thing I know, we were 15-1, went to the state champ game and won. Right, we won. Got that fat ring, right? It's crazy. And that's the thing that blew my mind, was I had no anticipation of, or I should say, I had no expectation of even making it that far. Then being there, albeit on the bench, on the bench the last 2 minutes. Okay. The whole thing was the demands it took, how much it cost, and then not expecting anything, actually. I just expected it to be a time of strength and conditioning, practices that I didn't like, and then just being really in it. But then the result was getting my picture taken. So one of the picture that made the newspaper was me celebrating coming off the field. And I didn't even put in the work. Like, I put in the work, but I was not starting lineup. So there's this picture of me picking up another teammate of mine, and my arms were huge, right? Because we're doing all that workout, right? And I was like, I can't believe this just happened. Like, I wasn't posing for a photo. Someone just caught it what do they call that? Off the cuff. I'm blanking on it. Candid, that's what it's called. That's the left brain connecting with the right brain on the spot to remember a word. I feel like I should be on the spelling bee. Just handle it. Okay, so you want to talk? I don't know what that subtle sign was. Oh, the time. Uh-oh. The time to get back to business. The time to get back to business is saying I didn't expect to get that accolade. And then it was a moment where I wouldn't want to say imposter syndrome. It was more like, whoa, I was not anticipating this. And then the level of recognition, whether it be getting the trophy, which is, the ring, getting the picture taken, and, kids are funny. Put it on my locker. I would take it off. Next day, there'd be another one. That happened all year long, right? But that's actually a memory I had not thought about for like 15 years. But the whole thing going in is saying, what's it going to cost? What's it going to cost you to go get that goal? And so that's one that I have in my arsenal of memories. David Goggins, I always reference this guy. He calls it the cookie jar, right? So that's the memory I had in my cookie jar to say, when did I set a goal? What were those obstacles? How did I overcome those obstacles? Was it worth it? It was worth it. And the whole thing that pushed me through, especially
doing the same thing that I'm doing right now, 4:30 a.m. to be in the gym and then go about my day,
is I learned that back in high school and then toned it down, but that carried on for a couple of years just off of that momentum. Then, you know, next obstacle came up, life-changing event, got out of shape, but it led up to this moment to say, oh,
the goal of losing 100 pounds
is something that is relatively
new territory given the current circumstances. How do I do it? How do I keep it off? And that's why I'm doing this podcast.
Okay. So we got to get ready to wrap up because time's about to tick.
But Dave, what would you say to someone who is in this journey, you know, something similar? They're motivated, they're, you know, they're going, and then all of a sudden they throw the towel.
Say it's going to cost you. How long? You should be, you should get sad. You should throw in the towel. And then in that moment, say, do you want to get up or not?
Or how about if they don't like the gym? Or if we don't like the gym, you know, hey, you know, when the trainer says 20 burpees.
Ugh. Yeah. Fall in love with the process. Like a- Fall in love with the process. I don't like my alarm clock going off at 4:30. So I set it for 4:28. Right. So, hey, that's the whole thing. I don't know what it takes to get that person to do 20 burpees. But the whole I'd say practice. Maybe if you don't like that action of a burpee, break it up. Can you do push-ups? Practice push-ups, then do as many push-ups as you can. Do you like jumping jacks or jump rope? Well, start learning to do jumping jacks and jump rope. Do you like, I don't know, what's the other compound movement that's there? It's the fall to the ground, jump up. Yeah, just try and practice like you're gonna dunk. If that's not an aspiration of yours, say, how high can I jump and mark it and try and pass that, but practice that movement. So now you have three different exercises to do a burpee. Push-ups, the jumping jacks or jump rope, and then how high you can jump, record it, and just continue to jump higher. All of a sudden, burpees are going to be much easier because you just split up those major components of it and now have the strategy to beat that.
Yeah.
Right? If you're talking more like, hey, I don't like how hard this is and I don't like this movement, then I'd say, not to be, I'm going to have to, I've just toned back mentally to like how mean I would be, because this is how I would talk to myself. It's like, if you don't like doing the workout, you're going to have to find a reason to like doing the workout or face the consequence, which is still being in the same place that you're at right now. For me, I was tired of being where I was, and that's how much it costed me. It costed a ton amount of energy and then cutting back on my way of life. It only became enjoyable when I said, this is my new life, and that life is loving this process. So let's see. Well, let me just say this. With all of this, with every single episode, it'll always be the same principle. I'm the only person. Well, I'm not the only person. I can only give you the key that I used, but you're the one who has to unlock the door and walk through it. I cannot walk through that door for you. It worked for me. It's guaranteed to work for you if you stay in it. You don't have to be training. Like, the whole purpose of telling you this story from high school was, you don't have to be Mr. MVP. You don't have to be the best person on the team. You don't even have to be on the starting lineup. I was on the bench most of the time. Right, I still got the accolades, was still officially part of the team because I was officially part of the team. I was committed, I was dedicated, I was disciplined. I put the work in until it worked out. I had no idea what it would look like, but that's what I got. And that's the thing that's going to separate everyone there, right? It's going to be, were you watching from the spectator seat, or did you have a front row like me on the bench, right? More than that, it's, how involved were you? So, I mean, even the water boy gets a ring, right? Well, in high school, you don't really have a water boy. But the whole thing is, if you commit to it and it's organized, you don't have to be number one to get that number one spot and be recognized as the number one spot. It just so happened to be, this was the first time in school history, and that set the precedent for the as a legacy at my high school, right? So what do you want to do, and how much is it going to cost you? Everyone's going to get knocked down. Everyone's going to get kicked in the teeth. How do you respond to that? For me, I'm saying I am going to practice, simulate what that game looks like, and fall in love with the process to get to where I'm going. And we'll check in every time we do an episode. Say, hey, actually not every single time, but I'd say a marker like 4 weeks from now, I can weigh in and say, oh, this is what it looks like. But knowing what I'm capable of physically, I'm not going to check my weight for 8 weeks because I already know what this looks like because I've done this before. And 15 pounds is not a huge obstacle to me now because I just lost 100 pounds, but I'd split it up, right? So, yeah. In the last 60 seconds, I'll give you a bullet time. No, bullet time is slow. A bullet round. So, 6 points to take away. Write the vision. Number two, why are you doing it? Three, how are you going to do it? Four, have a plan and stick to it. Five, fall in love with the process. Number six, turn off your feelings. Any questions?
No, that's great. No, definitely. I mean, that's why those points are going to help someone and, you know, us that, you know, we hit a point where we're losing weight and it's like, oh, discouragement. Like, that's it. You know, I lost 5 pounds and that's it. I'm stuck. You know, you hit the plateau and you just got to continue with your vision of where you want to go, your goal, where you want to go, and turning off your emotions, not letting them dominate you.
Yes.
Right? Because those are so easy. Our mind is so easy to, you know, play with us and dominate us and make us give up and focus on something else, or let, you know, let ourselves be driven by even, what are those called? Like
impulses?
No, like even like those drinks to lose weight, you know, like fat burners. That word? There's a word.
I'm not falling for. Finish your thought because I don't want.
There's a word.
Yeah.
But you know, you seek those, like those proteins that, or like I don't want to say
the quick the results. Companies. Yeah, yeah. Don't say yeah.
I don't want to say it. But yeah, we seek those things to help us lose. Yeah, the shortcut.
Yeah.
And on the long run, it harms you. Health-wise, yes. And it also harms you in the sense that all that work that you're putting into, or that even financially, you know, because you spend so much on those
supplements,
you know, it's like you have to start all over, and it gets harder to lose that weight
because your body knows.
Because your body knows. It's like confused, and you do harm your metabolism. Mm. So, absolutely, this is a great. You know, it gets us going, and even emotionally in our relationship with those around us.
Yeah, absolutely. Productivity has gone through the roof. Mm-hmm. I think my default mode is to procrastinate, but when I'm focused and I know what I'm doing, where I'm going, I am so productive. It's insane, right? So the whole thing goes around the whole principle. Man. I felt like I said this last time. Like, I don't want to give away too many secrets all at once. It's creating that domino effect that affects the rest of your life, your relationships, your workplace, everything, how you interact with strangers. And for me, I'm here to tell you right now, physical fitness is one of those areas that you can absolutely control and then stick to it. And then you'll see how it just cascades into other areas of life. And say, whoa, I can't, why didn't anyone tell me sooner? Well, people probably did, but probably had an excuse.
And it feels great when people start noticing, right? Yeah. When they start telling you, hey, you know, you look different.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, did you do something
new?
I lost weight.
Yeah, that's real validation, right?
And you even, you know, you love yourself more.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, you learn to love yourself. Yeah. You learn to love your emotions as well. Like, hey, this is how I felt. Now I feel much better because I'm a different person. Well, I'm the same person, but differently emotionally.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's one of the... And so right now, I'm not downplaying what you just said. This comment that I'm about to say is the smaller that number for pounds to lose, it's going to be quicker in terms of getting there. So this is for a very specific audience of saying 100 pounds, and then showing you that it can be done. And then I can give you the breakdown for everything along the way, the pitfalls, the things I wish I had known, things that I did, things I didn't do, what my recommendations are, because I did it and the weight is off.
The placebo effect.
Placebo effect.
There you go.
Oh man. Okay. let's oh man. Yes.
That was the word I was
caffeine definitely does work, but too much caffeine is not good for you, and you probably shouldn't be having as much anyway. No. But yeah, we'll leave it on that. It's first step, write the vision down. Mm-hmm. All right. Till next time, we'll talk, and hopefully, no, it will be. If it's in the next, you know what, I'm not gonna say that. I'm saying till the next time we talk, we'll talk. All right, keep getting after it. Lift those weights. Those weights aren't gonna lift themselves, and you now have the key in your hand, but you gotta unlock the door and walk through it yourself. Peace.